On this Saturday night, mass shooting, the terrifying moments at a nightclub in Arkansas as gunfire erupts during a concert. More than two dozen shot, others injured during the rush to get out. On the front lines of the battle to drive out ISIS from its biggest stronghold in Iraq, Richard Engel is there. Sex for sale, new evidence that one of the world's largest classified ad websites solicits ads for prostitution overseas. Details tonight in an NBC News exclusive. And inspiring America, why one man made it his mission to mow lawns for free in all 50 states. It's a cutting-edge idea. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. The mayor of Little Rock, Arkansas, says his heart is broken after a mass shooting overnight at a nightclub. 25 people were shot, several others injured as they tried to flee the packed venue where a rap concert was underway. Two still in critical condition tonight. Authorities say they believe multiple shooters were involved. At least two dozen shots were fired in just 11 seconds. Tonight, police say they do not suspect terrorism, but think it was gang-related. It is the 173rd mass shooting in the U.S. so far this year, a faster pace than last year. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is at the scene.
Around 2:30 a.m., the concert turned into chaos. Gunfire erupting in the crowded club. People running for their lives.
All units, Little Rock is advising of a multiple shooting that just occurred.
25 people shot, three others hurt in the stampede to escape.
How hard was it to get out of that club?
Hard.
Frankie Bledsoe was inside.
Crowd was in a good mood. So, I just, like I said, I couldn't tell you why. Just senseless, really.
Uday Akuraju lives across the street. He says he heard the shots and saw bloody clubgoers spilling onto a parking lot.
I got up because people were screaming. There was panic, chaos. I heard the gunshots in my apartment. Imagine that. It was loud.
Incredibly, no one was killed.
We believe that this potentially involved gang activity.
A rapper from Memphis known as Finesse two times had been performing. The show promoted with this flyer. On the artist's Facebook page today, this message. The violence is not for the club people. We all come with one motive at the end of the day, and that's to have fun.
We have not spoke to the performer yet, but that is certainly one of the individuals and anyone that was inside that venue that we certainly want to speak to.
Arkansas's governor said Little Rock's crime problem appears to be intensifying. There have been at least 10 drive-by shootings in less than 2 weeks.
Well, right now, it's early in the investigation. We think there's a possible linkage between them.
Tonight, several of the wounded have been treated and released. But this man's friend is recovering after being shot in the back.
So it's just sad to hear something like that happen to a good person like that. Some need to change.
No arrests yet. Police say someone associated with the performer was carrying a gun and was initially turned away by off-duty police officers, but later found his way inside this club through another entrance. Tonight, first responders are being credited with saving lives. Kate?
Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. There are new details tonight about the doctor who went on a shooting rampage at a hospital here in New York. The shooter reportedly held a grudge after being forced to quit his job at that hospital 2 years ago. Morgan Radford has more.
Possible multiple people struck.
45-year-old doctor Henry Bello opened fire at this Bronx hospital, injuring six people and killing Dr. Tracy Sinyi Tam, a 32-year-old family practitioner who was filling in for a coworker. According to officials, Bello was forced to resign from the hospital 2 years ago amid claims of sexual harassment. He'd worked there for only 6 months. Just hours before the rampage, he appears to have sent an email to the New York Daily News saying he was forced out because of bogus complaints from colleagues. He had reportedly threatened to come back and harm employees, though the hospital says there was no warning whatsoever.
We have a confirmed active shooter. Shots fired at the location.
The suspect had previously been arrested for sexual abuse. Those charges were dropped. He pleaded guilty to unlawful imprisonment leading up to the mayhem.
I just saw the panic.
Chaos and craziness.
A lot of people screaming, yelling.
Bello showed up with an assault rifle. He asked for a specific doctor, and when that person wasn't available, began shooting randomly before turning the gun on himself.
It let me know that it can happen anywhere. I mean, it really hit home.
Those affected now focused on recovering and remembering. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
President Trump began this holiday weekend with a barrage of tweets hitting on everything from the investigation of voter fraud to more about the hosts of MSNBC's Morning Joe. We get the latest from NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
Back in New Jersey with his family, the president taking no holiday from Twitter. First, a friendly shout out. Happy Canada Day. But then President Trump set off more fireworks in his running media feud, deriding the cable news hosts at Morning Joe as crazy and dumb, then firing a rocket at more than two dozen states. What are they trying to hide? He tweeted. More than half of state elections officials are refusing to submit voter registration information to a Trump commission he described as the very distinguished voter fraud panel. Arkansas's Republican governor.
I would be very hesitant to send out voter data that's available here in Arkansas into a national database.
Among the reasons, privacy concerns, state authority over elections, and fears the data could be used to disqualify some voters.
Let me, sir, please let me talk.
But the other pyrotechnics this weekend are going off over health care.
Stand up for the people who are here and saying we need our health care.
Physician and Louisiana Republican Senator Bill Cassidy.
I am doing my best to make sure that we continue coverage, care for those with pre-existing conditions.
Facing heat from constituents, Republican lawmakers find themselves back home with no plan yet and no answers on how to replace Obamacare.
Kicking them off their health care at this point, that's cruel, sir.
Tonight, the president is defending his use of Twitter by tweeting. He claimed the, quote, fraudulent media is trying to convince Republicans and others that he should not use social media. But he claims that was an essential part of his victory and plans to, quote, continue to win. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell, thank you. For most states, this holiday weekend, today to be precise, marks the beginning of the new fiscal year. In New Jersey and Maine, the governors shut down non-essential state services after lawmakers failed to pass budgets by the midnight deadline. Among other things, state parks and beaches in New Jersey are closed. In Illinois, the crisis is even worse as the state began a third year today without a budget. NBC's Ron Allen reports on the impact there.
The Illinois budget disaster is sometimes a matter of life and death.
This is a very helpful program.
We met Evelyn in this treatment center in Chicago.
I was using for over 10 years.
And this place got you clean?
Got me clean.
Has it saved your life?
It saved my life, most definitely.
The budget relies on money from the state. The center now struggling to help clients because $6 million in bills sent to Illinois have gone unpaid. Now drastic layoffs and cuts.
You could be helping more people.
I could be helping more. I need to be helping more.
Illinois now has some $15 billion in unpaid bills. No budget here in more than 2 years as a Republican governor battles Democrats over taxes and spending. The financial wreckage widespread. Hospitals caring for the poor owed hundreds of millions in state payments. Public universities cutting classes and staff. Road projects employing thousands may grind to a halt. A potential downgrade of Illinois' credit rating to junk. The first state ever to sink so low.
Illinois has lost more residents than any other state.
Local columnist John Cass jokes the residents are so frustrated, Illinois should just shutter its government and let neighboring states take over.
It's Illinois.
Yeah.
So end it? Really?
It's one possibility. You just wipe it off the face of the map.
In the state capital, most of Elizabeth Knadler's patients are state employees. Illinois not paying their insurance bills.
We have essentially not gotten paid for about 70% of the work that we have earned. Every once in a while, there's a check that comes in, but for what we're owed, it's crumbs.
Lawmakers now desperately trying to fix this self-inflicted financial disaster. Ron Allen, NBC News, Chicago.
It is Iraq's second largest city, and tonight Mosul is in ruins. After an eight-month battle to drive out ISIS militants, Iraqi forces, backed by American advisors, are now close to achieving that goal. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel is on the front lines tonight. Richard?
Good evening, Kate. We are now in the center of the city of Mosul. It would have been impossible to broadcast from here a few weeks, let alone months ago, because this entire city was controlled by ISIS. But now things are changing, and things are changing quickly. A major offensive is underway with Iraqi troops on the front line. But what's different this time is there are American troops providing support, and we are on a joint American-Iraqi outpost. There's some American troops right here. And the way it works is the Americans are here as, quote-unquote, advisors. They help with intelligence. They call in airstrikes. And the Iraqis advance slowly. Most of the fighting right now is in the old part of Mosul. And as we went there, you can see how much damage there is, how difficult the terrain is. A lot of destruction, very narrow alleyways. And in some cases, the enemy, the ISIS fighters, and the Iraqi troops are just 10, 15 yards apart. One of the things that they're finding is that there are suicide bombers that are rushing the troops and rushing civilians. We ran into a bunch of casualties today, women, children, who had been approached by, they said, a female suicide bomber, someone from ISIS, who blew themselves up. So not a lot of terrain left to take in the old city of Mosul, but very hard terrain. Kate?
Richard Engel, thank you so much. Now to a story about a search for justice going back to World War II. The German government has paid more than $70 billion in reparations to Jewish victims of the Holocaust, but not to a small group of Jewish people who survived a little-known horror in the Romanian city of Iași. They've gotten nothing. Next week, German negotiators will meet representatives of about 1,000 of them to possibly change that. NBC's Bill Neely has the story, which we should tell you does contain some distressing images.
History weighs heavily on Iași, a modern city with a dark past.
In 1941, Iași had about 50,000 Jews, representing half of the population of Iași.
But in just a few days, 14,000 Jews were murdered.
Men, women, children died here.
Most of them in a mass shooting.
5,000 were killed in a police yard that's hardly changed today. George Herskew now lives in New Jersey. His father survived that attack, but with thousands of others was then loaded onto trains. Death trains.
They put him in the trains. In the cars, you know, close the door. No water, no food, heat. He lost his mind. He became mad. And that's how he died.
Bodies were thrown off the train every few hours for days. Berta Herskovici from Florida was 10 when she lost most of her family. She's fought depression ever since.
They destroyed me in a way because I never could get rid of my memories.
The German government accepts that the deaths of nearly 3,000 Jews on these tracks was a war crime. It doesn't accept that it should compensate the survivors. Germany has argued against compensation because this didn't happen in a ghetto or in a concentration camp.
This clearly is an open ghetto. It fits into that any reasonable definition. The Jews couldn't leave for fear of death.
Their pain is still raw.
I don't know where my father's bones are buried.
And some of my days are hell. Even now, after so many years.
Soon, their suffering may be officially recognized. But for thousands, it is all too late. Bill Neely, NBC News, Iași, Romania.
Still ahead tonight, the dramatic rescue of an American family after they became stranded hiking the rugged mountains of Mexico. And up next, an NBC News exclusive about one of the world's largest classified ad sites and evidence of how it sells sex ads online. We're back with a story involving one of the largest classified ad websites in the world, Backpage, a company that has come under fire in the U.S. and been accused of knowingly facilitating sex trafficking. Backpage has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing, but data obtained exclusively by NBC News shows that Backpage has taken an active role in drumming up advertising for the sex trade overseas.
This bizarre story starts with a public company looking after its bottom line. CoStar, a commercial real estate information company, was worried a competitor was stealing photos and information, a claim that competitor denies. Their search for the potential hackers led them to a company called Avion, operating in a remote city in the Philippines, where a court agreed to a raid on the office. CoStar's Curtis Ricketts was on that raid.
We got 1.7 million photographs in that data. It was building picture, porn, prostitute ad, building picture, and then bang. It was like, okay.
Bang what?
Child pornography, and that was it. We just immediately shut the computer off, picked the phone up, called the attorneys, and they called the FBI.
Must have been incredibly disturbing.
It was.
Along with all the photos, thousands of documents related to a company called Backpage.
Had you ever even heard of it?
No. We, Googled Backpage, and up comes I Am Jane Doe, a documentary about it.
She brought her into a life of hell.
They called filmmaker Mary Mazzio to tell her what they'd discovered.
CoStar had bumped into what appears to be a huge trove of Backpage's offshore data.
For years, Backpage has said it is not responsible for any content that third parties post.
The evidence that we looked at in the Philippines would suggest that they're doing the opposite. They're proactively going out there and knowingly finding people to bring prostitution to their websites.
NBC News obtained the data from a lawyer who's not involved with CoStar. It showed how Backpage drummed up adult ad business outside the U.S. Among the documents, an employee manual detailing how to reach out to people who've posted sexually explicit ads on other sites to convince them to switch to Backpage. And there were even phone recordings.
South Kensington, Lolita. I would like to invite you to repost your advertisement in our site and Backpage for free.
Another document details exactly what Avion employees wrote to potential customers looking for sex on other sites to redirect them to Backpage. There were also internal emails showing Avion employees were asked to check adult ads in the U.S. and remove photos that could raise red flags. The CEO of Avion told NBC News he cannot comment because of a non-disclosure agreement he signed with Backpage. Backpage declined to comment.
The FBI now has its hands on this data, and it may come into play in the multiple civil lawsuits already pending against Backpage. You can read much more about this on NBCNews.com. And we'll be right back. Members of a California family are safe tonight after a harrowing experience. They were stranded high up on a mountain in Mexico after they lost their way on a hiking trip. We get all the details from NBC's Steve Patterson.
It's one of those rare moments of pure joy. A family finally reunited after a harrowing journey home.
So how does it feel to be back home?
So good. We're so grateful to be back.
On June 20th, 61-year-old Morgan Fox took his two daughters, Mara and Claire, on a challenging hike just over the border in Mexico's Baja Peninsula, up 10,000 feet to the summit of Picacho del Diablo, also known as Devil's Peak.
It had been 20 years since I'd gone and descended into the canyon, and the terrain had changed quite a bit. So I think that threw me off a little.
When they didn't come home last Sunday, Mom Debbie contacted Mexican authorities, leading to an extensive search. The timing, critical. Morgan is diabetic.
There were definitely times when we were really scared.
Morgan and his daughters, wearing protective foil from their packs, were spotted by a Mexican helicopter on Tuesday, but it was too risky for a rescue by air, so a team set out on foot.
Gracias, Dios, gracias.
Finally, rescuers reached the family.
We owe our lives to the Mexican people.
A hike this family will never forget. A homecoming they will cherish forever. Steve Patterson, NBC News, San Diego.
Happy ending. And when we come back, why one man has been mowing lawns in all 50 states. Finally tonight, there's a necessary but mundane task that every homeowner knows well. But the next time you mow the lawn, think about the man you're about to meet. Katie Beck tonight on how he's inspiring America.
Tony Smith mows lawns.
Wow, what a big improvement. Thank you.
No problem.
Collecting thank yous instead of paychecks.
It's worth more than money, you know, just to help someone out.
Someone struggling to keep their yard up, like Valerie Milstein, who cares for her quadriplegic husband.
It's overwhelming to come out of your house every day and see a mess.
Smith eases the strain.
I'm just weed eating these bushes right here.
For the elderly, the disabled, veterans, and single moms.
Just letting people know that we care.
Born in Bermuda, Smith is working toward a master's degree in Alabama. One day, he saw an elderly man grappling with a mower.
So I pulled over and helped him, and that night I decided to cut grass free.
In May, Smith's local mission sprouted a nationwide scope, 50 lawns in 50 states. The last yard was Milstein's in Hawaii.
Well, thank you for being my 50th lawn.
I'm impressed. Mm-hmm.
Rodney, how many times has it happened that you're at a job and a total stranger will just come hug you?
That's just about every day.
His mowing mission funded by donations. Back home on this day, a regular recipient.
It's such a wonderful blessing because I couldn't afford to pay somebody, you know, twice a month on my income.
Because grass will grow, just not under Rodney's feet or the dozens of other young men who have joined him, donating their time and sweat.
With this whole movement, I'm just trying to teach people to get out there. You don't need nothing in return. Just a simple thank you will do.
Selfless service, growing like a lawn in summer.
I'll see you in another 2 weeks.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Huntsville, Alabama.
You see that, kids? That is NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. Tomorrow on Nightly News, an NBC News investigation, sex crimes on cruise lines and how they're rarely prosecuted. I'm Kate Snow for all of us here. Have a great night.